Chapter 15. An eerie sense of calm fell over me despite the raging chaos around me. I'd never been one to believe in gods or higher beings, but looking at Edeni in this current state, I wasn't so sure if I'd created a monster woman or a true deity. I felt as if I were in the presence of a holy being who held all of the powers of the universe within her hands. My other monster women were strong, I already knew that for sure, but Edeni... how had she received such a massive amount of power? Was it from the Raiju? That seemed to be the only logical answer in my moment of panic. The lightning beast was huge and powerful enough to wipe out a small village if it so desired, which meant that Edeni had received the full power of the Raiju's elemental core. Was this what it was like to embody the full amount of power that some magical beasts possessed? It was terrifying, awe-inspiring, and... so beautiful that I couldn't tear my eyes away. The Duchess floated feet off the ground in an undulating sphere of electrical power, and with deadly accuracy she blasted orbs of power toward the scrambling aristocrats. Was there some way that I could transfer some of that power to my existing monster women? Could I augment their powers even more with shards of the elemental sphere? I knew that they didn't care if their powers were slightly weaker, but... if all of them had power such as this, killing the queen would be an easier task than controlling the aristocrats of Edenheart. I needed to figure all of that out, but I didn't have time to think about it right now. A wicked smile spread over Adelia's thin lips, and she crossed her arms over her ample chest. In one swift motion, the older woman slashed her arms through the air, and the air in front of her churned to life. Before my eyes, a cyclone swirled forward and wafted away the green mist my devices created. No. No, this couldn't be. An air ability? Why hadn't I calculated this outcome when I'd built the devices? I'd thought that the fog would be enough to knock out all of the aristocrats, but I hadn't thought that any of them would have the ability to control the air.
That's all you got, Master Scientist? What are you going to do now? You certainly can't fight all of us. You're a mere brute. The only thing you have going for you is the strength in your arms and legs, but even that isn't impressive.
He's not going to fight you.
The bear girl barked as she and my other monster girls tossed off their robes.
We are.
Ryan, egged on by Edeni's show of her enormous power, summoned up three balls of fire and tossed them from hand to hand like a juggler. The black-haired beauty set her tangerine-colored eyes on the tight grouping of women. The red-skinned woman cackled madly and then pounded forward against the cracked marble floor. Ryan shifted her position as she ran, jumped through the air with her legs tucked underneath her body, and then twisted her torso. The three floating orbs of fire blossomed out into an entire wall of heat and blocked off the exit. The fleeing nobles screamed out in a symphony of fear and pain, and one aristocrat who couldn't stop in time skidded through the thick barrier of fire. She put up her hands to shield herself from the flames, but when they passed through, the skin popped and sizzled from the heat. By this time, Ryan was already gone, racing around the far wall with a trail of flames whipping out behind her like a torn, savage flag of destruction. Personality-wise, the imp woman was a bit wild and boisterous, but right now, during a heated fight, she was downright erratic. Ryan zigzagged over the shattered marble floor, skidded to sudden stops, and sent out enormous blasts of flames so huge that they sent black smoke billowing up through the broken ceiling. I glanced over my shoulder toward the dais where Josephine still stood. The heiress closed her eyes for a few seconds, breathed in deeply, and then tiptoed to the edge of the platform. When she opened them, they held a strange yellow color that I hadn't noticed before. The honey blonde jabbed out her right hand, exhaled through her clenched teeth, and then tensed her fingers. It felt as if time slowed, and my body moved a fraction of what it normally would, but I knew this must have been some side effect of Josephine's power. The heiress's glowing gold eyes settled on the group of panicking aristocrats, and I immediately felt the sensation lifted from my shoulders. I whipped my head back toward the group of women in front of me, and shivers raced up and down my back. Josephine's power was like no other that I'd ever seen. Most of my women had abilities that you could physically see, like strength, invisibility, fire, and electricity, but the heiress's was totally different. You didn't know it was working until you saw it take hold of another person. All of the leftover aristocrats were frozen in place. Some of them held their mouths open in frozen screams of terror, and others held out their hands to ward off Valerie's unseen attacks. Their faces showed sheer terror, and their eyes swiveled around the room, trying to understand what had happened to them. I paused for a moment and took all of it in. It was like looking at a living, breathing painting, and just like Edeny's power, it was terrifying and absolutely beautiful all at the same time. When I peeked over at Josephine, her face was tensed and her breathing came out in labored huffs, but she remained firm despite her discomfort. Now it was our turn to take over. Edeny already told me that all of her guards were in place, and once we disabled the aristocrats, they were there to haul them back to the manor. My eyes shifted back to the fighting right as Daisy raced forward with her arms pumping at her sides. Right as I expected the bear girl to drop low or throw a punch, the brunette slammed her boots against the marble floor and launched herself into the air. Daisy flipped over once, brought her palms together, and slashed downward. The air split with the massive amount of strength behind Daisy's attack, and a wave of energy raced toward the three remaining aristocrats and Adelia. The older woman's dark eyes widened, and she brought up her hands to defend herself, but it was too late. The air attack hit Adelia at full force and sent her tumbling backward in a lazy arc. The other two aristocrats tumbled sideways and slammed into the far walls with loud cracks. They slumped forward, unconscious, with their heads pressed against their chests. Adelia laid flat on her back a few feet away from the open archway, and from the rise and fall of her chest, I knew she and the other two were still alive. We'd managed to fight off their attacks and win, thanks to the help of all my women. At the last second, I thought that we weren't going to win, and Adelia would beat us, but it was true. We were capable and determined to best anyone who stepped in our way. I leaned my head back, closed my eyes, and sighed. So much had happened, and it felt as if hours had passed since the aristocrats had barged in, but I was fairly sure that it had only been minutes.
Edeny!
Valerie gasped, and my eyes snapped open.
What was that? I've never seen anything like that in my life.
If I'm being honest, I have no idea. I wasn't sure if my power would activate at all. I'd felt it building up inside of me, but it never fully shown itself. But when they started threatening Charles, something inside of me broke open and exploded. I've never felt so alive. Charles, what was that? I knew that I'd become much more powerful after the transformation, but it's not like this for any of your other women. Why am I so strong?
I have a theory, and I think it was just proven. I believe that when we used the Raiju, you received the full power and potential of the beast's core. As I've stated before, so far we've planned to break the core into pieces and use it in the experiments, but you received the entirety of the Raiju's abilities. That's why you're so unbelievably strong and powerful.
Is there?
The she-wolf lowered her head, flattened her ears, and stared down at her feet.
Is there any way that we can take away some of it? I lost control, Charles, and I'm so used to being in control of the power I've had since birth. I easily could have lost control and killed more aristocrats, or even some of you if I wasn't careful.
I was about to say,
Ryan murmured,
that I want that amount of power. I don't think you do.
Edeny shook her head.
It's so hard to control, especially when I don't know much about it.
Don't know much about it?
Cleia asked.
What do you mean? It's your power. You've had it all of your life.
It's different for all of you. Having a power from birth is so much different than receiving it in the middle of your life. When you're a child, your mother teaches you about your power. You have to understand it down to the molecular level. My power is electricity-based, so my mother taught me the voltages and what type of damage they could do when brought to higher levels. But there's more than that. You also have to think about the heat levels and the chances of a fire breaking out from the sheer strength of the attack. That's why I wanted to train you so badly, so you can understand the state of your powers, how much energy goes into an attack, and how to reserve your power until the right moment. I can see it in your faces. You're all exhausted, and I am too, but that's because we don't fully understand our abilities yet.
I don't think there's a way that we can take away your power, Edeni. But as you've just said, we can train you, and you can relearn everything from before. It's the same power, only magnified to a higher level.
You're right, Charles.
Edeni nodded and smiled tenderly.
I'm so afraid of hurting you. I don't want that to happen. You saw what happened. I had no control over it.
The she-wolf raised her violet eyes toward the ceiling, gestured toward the shattered marble at our feet, and the broken columns around the edges of the room. The entire roof had cracked from the enormous force of Edeni's power, and as I leaned my head back, I saw the bright cornflower blue sky and a few fluffy clouds as they floated by. "We'll train you," I nodded, and slammed my fist down into my palm. "You'll become more confident in your powers. Edeni, even if I could, I wouldn't take these abilities away from you. You may feel uncertain about them, but you didn't witness what I did. You were like a vengeful goddess on a rampage. If you and the other women held that same kind of power together, defeating the queen would be much easier than we thought."
You think so?
The Duchess stammered. Edeni, look around you. You nearly blew the roof of this goddamn building off with a single blast. Not only that, but what happened to those aristocrats? The ones that tried to run away, they exploded.
I have absolutely no idea.
The she-wolf shook her head.
I thought I was sending out bolts of lightning, but they formed into orbs and did that.
I have an idea. There might be something else to your power that we don't know about. To morph the body like that, it's not electrical in nature. We'll have to test it out. And I do have a theory. My words were interrupted by the sounds of heavy, running feet, and the seven of us turned right as a black mass of guards rushed in. All of the soldiers yelled their battle cry, but once they entered through the huge archway, they skidded to a halt in front of the enormous pile of aristocrats.
There you are. I suspect that the few days off I gave you were relaxing and enjoyable. Now it's right back to work. I want to let all of you know from this moment on, I'm no longer your leader. You will not answer to me from this moment forward. Charles Rayburn is the leader of our duchy, and he will be your first in command.
Yes, mistress,
the soldiers shouted, turned their position, and rested their collective gaze on my face.
Now then,
I cleared my throat and chuckled.
I need you to haul all of these women back to my manor. Put them in the cages Edeni provided at the duchy. After that is finished, I need you to raid the deserted town. Ravage all of the houses, take all of the valuable items, and bring back the servants, the workers, and the consorts to my manor.
Yes, master!
The guards boomed, shifted position, and smashed the butts of their weapons against the marble with a loud crash. Master. I'd never heard that word aloud before. Of course, I knew of it, but I'd only ever heard men called brute, beast, or vermin trash. And they were calling me Master. I was their leader now, and it was only natural, but it felt as if something momentous had just occurred. I was the master of an entire army, and soon I would be the leader of a whole trove of monster women.
Master, I grunted.
Valerie perked up, wiggled her ears, and then grinned.
I like the sound of that. You're our lord and master, Charles.
And before long,
Ryan boomed,
you'll be the king and ruler of the whole world.
No one can stop us,
Daisy chuckled.
No one can stand in our way,
Cleia bubbled.
You are the only one who can save the world and the men in it, Charles,
Josephine breathed.
You will take this land, Charles,
Edeni whispered,
and you will make it your own. We've lived in a dark age filled with turmoil and pain, but you will be the one to bring us into the light.
We just gotta get that big, bad beastie first, and take out its core to use it in the experiments.
We'll build a whole new world with the core, Charles.
The she-wolf purred. I breathed in deeply and looked out over all of my soldiers. These were my men, and my monster women, who loved me more than life, crowded around me. It was true. I was the lord and master of Edenheart now. Edeni couldn't stand in my way, nor could the pesky aristocrats.
My plan has just begun. We're building a brand new world, and I'll be the head of it, and you will all be my queens.